Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on sequencing old school DNB sub with a resampling workflow. We're going after that classic Jungle and Rollers feeling, where the bass line doesn't just sit there looping, it feels played. It answers the drums, it breathes, and it builds tension without getting overly busy. That's the whole vibe here. Keep the MIDI simple, then use resampling to turn that simple idea into something you can sculpt like audio. First, think drum first. Bass second. If your drum loop isn't already grooving, the bass won't know where to live. So start with a solid 2-bar break pattern at around 170 to 174 BPM. Kick on the 1, snare on 2 and 4, and keep enough little break details and ghost hits so the groove feels alive. If the break sample has too much low end, clean it up with EQ. You don't want the bass fading the drums for the same space. You want the drums to define the pocket, and the bass to move around that pocket. A really important teacher-style tip here, leave space on purpose. In DNB, a tiny gap before a snare or before a pickup note can hit harder than adding another note. Empty space is part of the rhythm. Now build your bass source. If you want a proper sub-led starting point, operator is perfect. Load a sine wave on oscillator A, keep it clean, and turn off anything you don't need. Set a fast attack so the note speaks immediately. Then shape the decay depending on the feel you want. For a tighter old-school stab, keep it short. For a more rolling, legato feel, let it ring a bit longer. If you want notes to connect in that classic way, add a little glide or portamento, but keep it subtle. After the synth, put utility and make the bass mono. That's a big one. Keep the true sub centered and solid. If you want width, that belongs in a separate upper layer later, not in the sub itself. Now write a 2-bar phrase that leaves room for the drums. Don't overthink note count. Use root notes, maybe a fifth or an octave jump, and a couple of passing tones if they really help the movement. A good starting shape is simple. Bar 1 starts with a root note on beat 1, then a short note before the snare. Bar 2 comes in with a root again, maybe a pickup note before the next phrase, and a longer ending note if you want it to roll forward. Keep an eye on where the kick and snare are landing. The bass should feel like it's talking to them, not stepping on them. If your synth responds well, add some velocity variation too. Even when the pitch is simple, a little change in note strength makes the line feel less robotic. Next, add a character layer. This is where you get that old-school DNB edge. You can duplicate the track or build an audio effect rack with two chains. One chain is your clean sub, the other is a lightly detuned reese or gritty top layer. Waveatable works great here with two slightly detuned saws, or you can use operator again with a different flavor. Low-pass that layer so it only contributes upper bass texture, not competing sub weight. A little drive, a little chorus, maybe to touch of frequency shifting if you want movement, but keep it controlled. The goal is thickness and attitude, not chaos. Now comes the fun part. Resample it, route your bass to a new audio track, and record 2 to 4 bars of the performance. Once it's printed, the whole mindset changes. You're no longer just editing a synth patch. You're working with audio, which means you can chop it, reverse it, nudge it, stretch it, and automate it much more flexibly. This is the big reason resampling is so powerful in DNB. It turns a simple bass line into a performance object. You can make it feel like a sampled studio record instead of a clean MIDI loop. I'd recommend printing at least 2 passes if you can. Do one clean pass, and then another pass with added drive or a little more motion. That gives you options later. A clean version can anchor the groove, while a dirtier version can be used for a switch up or a second drop. Once you've got the audio, start automating the tone before you automate the volume. That's a pro move. Put auto filter on the resampled bass, and sweep the cutoff in a musical way. Maybe open it a little by the end of bar 2, then snap it back on the next downbeat. You can also automate saturator drive, so the bass gets a bit more aggressive only at certain moments. Use utility gain sparingly for phrase emphasis, not constant pumping. And if you want some atmosphere, send only select hits or tails into reverb or delay. In DNB, short, intentional send automation can create huge drama without washing out the low end. A useful rule here is this: automate contrast, not constant motion. You do not need everything moving all the time. Often the most powerful move is a single filter open at the end of a phrase, or a tiny gain lift right before a drop hit. Now chop the resample. This is where the sequence really starts to feel old school. Split the audio into a few chunks, reverse one hit, shorten one tail, maybe mute a note or two in the second half of the phrase. You can create a call and response effect by letting one bar say something, and the next bar answer it. That's a classic Jungle and Roller technique. For example, Bars 1 and 2 can be the main root note groove, and bars 3 and 4 can introduce a reverse pickup, or a short filter open stab before the loop resets. If you want a really strong result, think in phrases, not loops. That's the mindset shift. Every 2 or 4 bars should feel like it has a beginning, a middle, and a little turn. If every bar feels identical, the drop can sound flat even if the sound design is strong. Mix-wise, keep cleaning as you go. On the bass audio track, cut any useless sub-rumble below about 20 to 30 Hz. If the low mids are getting cloudy, dip a little around 180 to 350 Hz, but be gentle. You don't want to hollow it out. You're just making room. Check the bass in mono, and check it at low volume too. That's a great reality check. If the groove and note shape still read quietly, you've probably got a solid line. Also, watch how the bass tails behave around the snare. If the snare feels buried, shorten the bass note length instead of just turning it down. In DNB, rhythm control often matters more than pure level control. For arrangement, use the resampled bass as a transition tool. Reverse the last hit into the next section. Add a short delay throw at the end of a four-bar phrase. Or create a filtered pre-drop version that sounds narrower and drier, then let the full version hit after the transition. That contrast makes the drop feel much bigger. You don't need to rewrite the whole bassline every time. Often just changing the ending, the chop order, or the amount of drive is enough to make a new section feel fresh. A good practical approach is this. Keep the first version of the bass the cleanest and most readable, then escalate over time. Add more grit, one extra note, a different ending, or a chopped response layer in later sections. That way the track evolves without getting clutter. Here's a quick practice challenge if you want to lock this in. Build a 4-bar old-school DNB bass section using one MIDI pattern and 3 resampled variations. Keep one mono subsource and one character layer. Resample at least 2 full passes. Then create 3 audio variations from the same source, with at least one variation made by editing audio, not changing the MIDI. Put the original phrase in bars 1 and 2, a chopped or reversed variation in bar 3, and a transition phrase in bar 4 that leads back into bar 1. If the groove still makes sense when the bass is simplified, you're on the right track. The big takeaway is this. The best old-school DNB bass lines feel sequenced, not pasted together. Use the drums to define the groove, keep the sub mono and clean, add character in a separate layer, then resample so you can shape the phrase like audio. That's how you get that physical, played, authentic energy without overcomplicating the MIDI. All right, let's build it, print it, chop it, and make that low-end talk.